Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Good morning, church. How exciting is this? Yeah, okay. You're really looking excited about this. Being in a room like this, I got a feeling this might just keep sliding off. Being in a room like this is, I think it's great. I think, as Michael said, it just opens our eyes a little bit just to go, wow, we really thank God for the journey He's brought us on and that we've been on so far. But who kind of agrees we've got a lot of work to do within this community and beyond and stuff. So I'm excited to be in here, and I'd like us all to stand. And what we're going to do is just going to pray before I preach this morning. Because, you know, this month is a month of spiritual rejuvenation, and we've said, look, if you want to jump on board with a 21-day fast with us in some way, shape or form, you are most welcome to. There are some people that are doing the full 21-day fast, as in food and all that stuff, and others are doing partial fasts or giving up, say, for example, like a Daniel fast, a fast giving up those special things such as Facebook. Oh, somebody just went, what? You got to be kidding, it's Facebook? No, but like somebody is willing to give up Facebook for 21 days, which is a great effort, I'm sure. But look, you know, you choose. And whenever we take those steps of faith and believing for a room such as this to be filled, you know, not just once, but many times over on a Sunday, why? Because that means that people's lives are being touched and changed and transformed, which is what we should be about. And whenever we do that, there's always, that's not going to happen easily. If you're new to the whole spiritual journey with God thing, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So anytime you go to take a forward step in your relationship and connectedness to God, there's going to be resistance to that. There's going to be opposition to that, spiritually speaking. And that can manifest itself in a variety of ways. And so this morning, whether you kind of are aware or not, right now, God is really stoked that we're up here and that we're in this place. But there is the other side, the devil and his side, that is not happy about us wanting to advance. So therefore, there's all sorts of things that he will try to do to stop us and inhibit, distract, and get our focus off what God is wanting to do. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what I'd like us to do right now, because this room gets used for a bunch of different things, from bodybuilding competitions to opera singing, which nothing against opera, but, you know, all sorts of different things. But this morning, this is the house of the Lord. This now is holy ground because we've declared it so. And so I just want to pray, and I just want us to just allow God to do whatever he wants this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in this room. Thank you for each and every precious person that is here today. Lord, I know that not one of us here are here by accident. I am sure and I know there are a lot of different places we could be right now. And maybe even for people in this room, they'd prefer to be somewhere else right now. But Lord God, we want to just say that, Lord God, this is holy ground. Lord God, for this moment in time, we just pray the blood of Jesus over this place. And I thank you that it is now set apart unto holy purposes today. That, Lord God, we declare that there is an open heaven over this room in a way like never before, Lord God, that your spirit would be able to rain down, that your spirit would have full freedom, that you, Holy Spirit, would be able to come and do whatever you want to do in this place. Because, God, I know you want to do good things this morning. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you've been doing, for what you're about to do and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Feel free to put your phone on silent or get your notes, pen, paper and stuff out. Feel free to do that. For those of you that have expressed interest and let us know that you want to do the Discipleship 101 course, which is the second step in our pathway of discipleship at Compass Church, we have a group of students that are uni students that will be doing that with Joe, who comes back this week. Thank you, Jesus, because all things admin, I am not. And I've found it kind of good this week having to sort of teach myself some of that stuff. But it's going to be good to have Joe back. And it just means the students will be going through the Discipleship 101. And what you'll get is a folder like this. Inside are the notes ready to go. And you will get a CD each week. And what we want you to do is listen to that CD before coming to the class so that the class is about consolidating what you are learning, discussion, question answer time, all of that sort of stuff. Come with your Bible and we just kind of like just really look into all this core belief stuff. Why do we believe what we do? As a church, I think you should know what you believe, but not only that you should know what you believe, but why you believe it. And so this course, the first 5 weeks, are looking at our core beliefs as a church, the things that will never change. And the first one that you'll get in there is the elementary truths out of Hebrews chapter 6. Talks about the basics of our Christian faith, and then we build on that as well over the ensuing 5 weeks. The second 5 weeks is about a gift discovery course. So if you have put your name down or are you ready to go for this Thursday night with me, I'm leading that group for the next 10 weeks. So looking forward to that. If you have expressed interest and you know about that, you can come and grab one of these folders at the end of the service. Okay, so that's got the first CD. Now, has everyone got a piece of scrunched up paper? Right. Has everyone got one? Who does not have a piece of scrunched up paper? Put your hand up and we'll run that out to you. While you're waiting for that, let's turn to the book of Haggai. Looking forward to our prayer meeting this afternoon at 5. Don't forget we've got a still day on the 20th of August, day before the end of this 21-day fast. It's going to be at the church office, 643 Nepean Highway. Just up from Hawthorne or before Centre Road, and just 9:30 to 3 o'clock, just a great day to come and sit and just wait on God and pray together, etc. So you'll be hearing more about that. Okay, we're looking at Haggai. I'm going to read to you again I'm going to read from verse 8 through to the end of 15. Here we go. Go up into the mountains, bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honoured, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor. Wow, that's really annoying. On your men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel son of Shealtiel, Joshua son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and he stirred up the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So these are verses that we've been listening to over the last three or so weeks, and this morning, the aspect we want to look at is a progression from last week. Who remembers last week? What we were talking about last week, how when we are stirred by God, we are called to action. And we're called to action not just for our self-benefit and gain, but for the benefit of others. And we see that again and again. God declares his power and his majesty and his might. Then he throws out the call to action. You see it in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission, talking about the authority and the power of God. Then he says, go into all the world. And then at the end of that, he says, and I will be with you until the end of the age. So we see that God's stirring and shifting of us in our thinking, which is what this month is about, us positioning ourselves and putting ourselves in a place so that God can stir us, that God can refresh us, that God can empower us, that God can do something good in our lives, not so that we become obese Christians. Did anyone see the article that in England they're making the word obese kind of not illegal? I don't know what the term is. They're not allowed to say it anymore. And it's like, you know, so maybe I just should have said we don't want to become fat Christians. It's the correct physiological phrase term for what it is. What I'm talking about is it's not just all about us, but we're called to action. Because we have so many people around about us in this lost and dying world that we've got to do something about. And we want to be a church of action, right? As we have shown and trying to demonstrate through our month of generosity and giving stuff away and actively involved with Coats and Good Neighbour Team and Canteen Compass and all that sort of stuff. There's some practical ways for us to get busy and God's commitment to us. But one of the things that really struck me when I think about this, because remember, flashback in time, 2,530 years ago, we're talking about a time when the temple was in ruins. It had been totally destroyed along with the city of Jerusalem. The people had come back in 536 BC from Babylon to Jerusalem to where the temple previously had been. But now they come back and everything's just a mess. And they've come back in 536 and they started to do some stuff. But then because of various excuses that we see in the earlier in the chapter, they stopped building. And all we know that they had was just like a makeshift altar so they could offer sacrifices. And it was all pretty pathetic, really. And so 16 years later in 520 BC, Haggai is stirred by God and anointed by God to start speaking the word of the Lord into the situation. Isn't it great that when God speaks into a situation, it's not always kind of like warm fuzzies and just tingles up the back of the spine and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes God puts out the challenge, get off your butt and do something. Sometimes it's a real challenge. We don't like those ones. Just give me all the warm fuzzies because they're so much better. But here we have this challenging word. Guys, we've got to build the house of the Lord. We've got to rebuild the temple. And remember, the application to us today is we are the temple. So we've got to take on board this stuff we're going over personally. How do I apply this to me? It's not about thinking, gee, I hope they're listening. I hope that person over there, oh, look, I know where they're at right now and I really hope they're listening to what Pastor Phil's saying. No, it's like, you know what? You got to think, how do I apply this? How do I order my priorities, etc.? And you can listen to the podcast or CDs to recap if you need to. But we're also talking about corporately rebuilding and building something of significance together. And we see here in this situation, we see that Haggai is given the word and then it says the people respond and they get to work. But try to imagine a temple that may have been of similar dimensions, bigger than this, but just more ornate and it was just so beautiful, just being burnt down and just totally, utterly destroyed. You can imagine the kind of stuff that would have been lying around. And if we're talking almost 70 years after the fact, it would have been just stuff everywhere. People would have come in and looted as they did. They took away all the riches out of the temple in the first place. They took all of that stuff away and there's just rubble and trash left over. I don't know if you've ever seen a demolishing company come in to demolish a building. And it's just like the stuff that's left over at the end is just nothing, resembles nothing of what it was. It's just like all trash and there's bits and pieces lying around. Well, this is what the people would have been confronted with. They would have had this site. They would have known exactly where they had to build it. And they're told to start rebuilding the temple. And so the first thing they had to do was to clear away the rubble. Clear away the rubble. And that's the title of this message this morning, is Clear Away the Rubble. You know, I jumped onto YouTube and just did a Google for under the word search under clutter. And in 0.14 of a second, 240,000 different sites came up for clutter, how to declutter your life. And I found it fascinating. I can get the fairy godmother to come along and organize and declutter my life. I can get the personal concierge and lifestyle management team to come along. I can get the admin helps that'll come and declutter my office and declutter my life. And I can get the personal coaches that will come in and pull my life apart and help declutter my life. I can jump on YouTube and just watch a whole plethora of experts tell us how to declutter our garage. Now, in our house, I had a flashback when we first got married, like the second drawer in the kitchen. What belongs in there, people? Just kitchen utensils, stuff like that. Okay, like the first one is cutlery. We can agree on that. The second one, the spatulas, the tongs, all the cooking stuff and whatever, it all goes in there. And over time, whose second drawer is just out of control right now? Just out of control. I do not expect Anna's to be out of control, because if there's anyone in this room who's going to have an organised kitchen, it will be Anna and my mother-in-law probably. Glad I thought of that. So we'll bypass the second draw for a second. Now, when there's four draws, can you help me? What goes in the third? Everything that doesn't fit in the second goes in the third. Right. Thank you very much, Ian. Very good. Well, we see, in our house, this is how I thought it was going to go. I thought, because being a physio, I thought, you know, you would probably tend to use tea towels more than you would placemats and things and those whatever else. So I thought tea towels should go in the third, and all those placemats that you use less regularly should go in the bottom. But my wife thought differently. She thought that the placemats and all that stuff should go in the third, and the tea towels should go in the bottom. And we just, it was probably one of the first kind of serious discussions that we had as a... And in the whole scheme of things, I can't believe how ridiculously stubborn and idiotic I was that I would actually want to argue with my wife over what goes in the third drawer. Needless to say, she did win, and now that's just how I'm used to it. But the thing is, the second drawer, let me give you a tip. I was watching this during the week, that they reckon that what you should do, take the second drawer, get like a milk crate or a box, tip everything into it, and then as a week goes by, whatever you take out of that box, as you use it, put it back in the drawer, and whatever is left after a week, you throw it away. I'll leave you with that, because I don't think that would work in our house, but yeah, it's just a principle that they reckon. Another thing that I found, which was a common thread throughout the whole decluttering of your life, is, for example, if you're going to declutter your garage, the first thing that you should do, I can't believe I'm bringing this up, because the majority of my stuff is actually in Michael's garage. Oh, I've left myself. That's why my garage is clean and his is a mess, because I pulled everything out. Oh, that's funny. Pull everything out and work out what you haven't used in the last 12 months. Throw it away. Oh, I got to change. Let's move on, because I'm... She's going to have a whole bunch of stuff that's going to get thrown away, and all the blokes that helped Michael move the last time, as in Troy and Glenn and stuff, are just going, Phil, Phil, Phil. But yes, anyway, the principle that I saw in any room, as well as the garage, in any room, is take everything out, and then try and work out what have you used regularly over the last month or so. If you haven't used it in a year, throw it away or free cycle, donate it, do whatever you want to do, recycle. But like and then just to declutter your life, because I remember as a student when I was studying that one thing I had to do before I started studying was have a clean and a tidy environment. And my mum loved it when I got serious about my study, because it's the only time my room got clean. But it was just like one of those things, just wanted everything. Because why? Because we're more efficient when we're not working in mess. Some people go, yeah, but I know where everything is in my mess. I think the challenge to that would be try doing it in a structured manner and an organised, neat manner. You'd be surprised. You might even be able to be more efficient. Who knows? Let me know how you go with that one. But the idea of decluttering our lives, I mean, that's from a tangible point of view. There's that stuff in our lives that just gets in the way. And it's just stuff that's heaped up. And Michael made reference to the fact last week that, you know, like some of our garages are bigger than the homes that people get to live in, you know, sort of the majority of the world's population, and they're nicer. But yet we have so much stuff in our car's home that the car's got to sleep outside and all our stuff gets to stay inside the car's home because of the accumulation of stuff. And sometimes stuff can get in the way. And so that's life. But let's take it a next step further. What about the non-tangible stuff that can get in our way? What about the stuff that can affect the way in which we think, the stuff that can be distracting to our thinking, to our relationships, all those sort of things? I don't know about the stuff that has happened in my life that has become, dare I say, clutter, or dare I say, rubble. There's things like conflict in relationships. And I just know this, then, as much as my heart has been that I want to try and work through this, the other person was always wrong. Well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe I was wrong, but I was too stubborn to admit at the time. And so therefore tensions develop, conflict is there. And then as much as I want to be able to stand in front of a group of people and put up the facade that everything's okay, inside there's clutter. Inside there's this stuff that's unresolved that is getting in the way of me doing life. So it's like I've got baggage. I've got like something that is starting to weigh me down. I can't see it, but it's actually just there. And so therefore, wherever I go now, I've just got this bit of psychological, I've got this emotional clutter in my life. And as much as I want to ignore it, it just comes with me everywhere I go. I don't know about you, maybe you've had some relationships like that. Maybe it's a broken relationship where somebody cheated on you or somebody did the wrong thing by you and you're carrying this hurt heart around with you and no one would know about it, but there's this rubble, there's this clutter that's in your life. Or what about a work situation where you've tried your best and you have done nothing but poured your heart and soul into this and you've done everything you can, but it's never quite good enough. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, I can't please this guy. Michael is my boss at work, by the way. Can just never please the guy. Just can never do enough. When I think I've accomplished and I've achieved everything they've wanted me to, it's like, you know, they just find and pick holes in it. And it's like one particular project that I took on, it just totally stuffed up. There were some circumstances that were out of my control. There were some things that I didn't follow up on, but it ended up meaning that I actually lost my job over it. And so therefore, I carry this stuff around with me, this clutter, this rubble, this stuff that happens in my life. And what about the other challenges that I might have in my life? You know, just even in terms of my sense of self-esteem and self-worth. And just go, well, you know, I've never been told I'm any good. I've always been told I'm just a major loser. Oh, thank you. And, you know, as much as I try and be the life of the party and as much as I try to, like, make it look like and I try to wear the right clothes, as much as I've just got this, I'm really not worth much. What have I got to offer? And it's just something that I just carry around. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not this and I'm not that. It's just something that I have to carry around with me for the rest of my life. And what about that thing that I just don't want to talk about, whether it's that porn addiction that I've got? Man, nobody ever knows. No one would have a clue of the stuff that I watch. Or what about that element of abuse that I suffered when I was a kid and I've never talked to anyone about it? And that stuff that happened when, you know, mum and dad used to fight and stuff used to happen and then, you know, dad and his drunken rage would then come and take it out on me and whether that was physically or sexually, there was just this stuff that I had to deal with and no one would know, but it's clutter. It's rubble in my life that I've got to deal with and I've got to carry with me everywhere I go. And the thing is that God actually says to us, guys, one thing I want you to start with this month, one of the things that I want to see happen out of this month is let's clear away the rubble. Let's clear away the rubble. Because we have a God that knows everything. He sees everything. He knows that you've got this baggage. He knows that you've got this rubble that is there just weighing you down. And this stuff that I have in my life, this rubble and clutter that I have in my life, it affects how I relate to my mates. It reflects how I treat my wife. It reflects and it comes out in the way that I parent my kids. It comes out and it's reflected in the way that I connect with colleagues and how I do my job and all those sort of things. And so it impacts in every area of my life. And what if we were to take it a step further? If it affects us that much in our tangible physical relationships here, how does it affect our relationship with God? How does this clutter and rubble in our lives affect? You see, I believe wholeheartedly in a loving, caring God, but sometimes there's just stuff. Sometimes there's just rubble in our lives that's almost like keeping God at a distance from our situation. It's like saying, God, you know what? I'm not handing over. I'm not clearing away this rubble because I'm safe with this rubble. I can handle this rubble. I don't know what's going to happen if I get rid of this rubble. God, I'm going to handle this because I've got this under control, but the rest of my life you can have. God, I'm not going to clear away this rubble, but God's saying, hey, if you're willing to clear away the rubble, I want to build your life into something significant. I want to build your life into something that is meaningful, that is powerful. You've got to understand that we've been created to have that relationship with God. And some of you in the room, you need to understand that when you come into prayer, when you come into, over this month of spiritual rejuvenation, when you're coming into the presence of God, you're coming into the presence and to communicate with a God who loves you. A God who actually likes you. A God that actually is looking forward to meeting with you. A God that says, you know what, I am for you. I'm not against you. I don't have harsh, angry feelings towards you. I am a God that is consistent, a God who is the same yesterday, today, forever. So when you come to me and you want to talk to me about stuff, you can be honest. Why? Because I already know about the stuff. You can vent, you can scream, you can yell, you can cry, you can laugh, you can share the good, you can share the bad. You don't have to hide or segment your life from me, but you can be totally open and transparent because I am for you. I want to be with you. And if I'm for you, who can be against you? We have this God that is consistent, so you don't have to worry about what kind of God am I going to get today. I don't know, I mean, present company excluded, but I know some people that you're never quite sure what you're going to get. You go, okay, here we go. I'm going to go and hang out with this person and I'm just, don't know whether it's a good, bad or a bad, good day or a bad day, and you're not quite sure whether I'm going to have my head bitten off or whether I'm going to be greeted with a hug and a kiss and it's going to be great. And there can be reasons for that. I understand that. But you know what? When we come before Almighty God, He's just there, just waiting with open arms, going, hey, I love you. I've got nothing but the best intentions for your life. You know, for some of us, like, you know, like, I'm not sure how we view God, but we say it a bit in this church. It's like our view of who God is will determine what God can do in and through your life. And now sometimes our view of God and our understanding of God needs to change. And that's what a month like this is about. It's actually beginning to understand that, you know what, this stuff that I carry, this stuff from whenever it happened, maybe even this week for some of you, you know what, if I'm willing to actually bring that to God, He's not going to sit me down and rewind my life's videotape and replay all the mistakes I made and go, well, you know what, I told you it'd end up like this. He doesn't do that. Here's a God that's actually wanting to take this stuff from us, to clear away the clutter. This month, God is wanting to clear away the debris and the stuff in our lives if we're willing to hand it over to Him so that He can begin to build His temple in us. Begin to build His house in us individually and begin to build what He is wanting us as a church to be more and more. Does that make sense? And so this morning, I'm not sure what your clutter in your life is. For some people in this room, it may be a serious matter. And at the end of the day, it's none of my business what you've been through. But I am here to tell you this morning that there is a God who loves you so much that He knows all about it and He has the power. He has the power to break the hold of this stuff in your life. You know, there are some scriptures that I absolutely love when it comes to understanding God's desire and intent for our lives, when it comes to us having to feel as though we've got to carry rubble or have a cluttered life emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. In 1 John 3:7-8, it says, "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Colossians 2:13-15 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." You got to hear that this morning. He forgave us all of our sins, not some, but all. "Having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. See, this morning, it's not just a process of coming with a bit of rubbish that you've got this morning. And that bit of rubbish in your hand, we want that to represent whatever small thing or big thing that's in your life. Because the Bible tells us here that, you know what, yes, the reality is that God, when we invite him into our life, he is not going to come in and erase your humanity. He is not going to come in and erase your memories. But what it tells us here, that when Jesus died upon the cross and he took all of the negative stuff upon himself, when he took upon himself all of the rubbish and the clutter from our lives, stuff that's happened to us, stuff that we have done that is offensive to God, which the Bible calls sin, when Jesus took that upon himself and he paid the price for all of that, he died, and when he rose again, that power that he demonstrated in all of that means that he's got the power to break the hold of any of that stuff in your life. See, God's desire for your life is freedom. Freedom so that you would become all that you're destined and purposed to be. But sometimes the baggage holds us back. But God, the Bible says that God is the only one that actually has the power to take this stuff and break the hold of it in our lives. So I'm just really glad this morning that if I'm willing to say, God, I just want to clear away the rubble. God, I just want a clean slate. I just want to have the right foundation that you can start to build on in my life. And it says that God's got the power to do it. Because we, in and of ourselves, we don't have the power to break the hold of that. And I believe in counseling, and I believe in therapy, I believe in all of those things, and there's an appropriate time and place for all of that. But in terms of the spiritual hold that those things have in our lives, there's only one power, there's only one authority that can break that off your life so you can live in true freedom. Because real wealth, real fulfillment, real life satisfaction is a spiritual thing, not just an emotional, psychological, or physical thing. And so when we begin to experience the freedom from the clutter, from the rubble that's in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the only one who has the power to break over, it's only when we experience that kind of freedom can we really, I believe, begin to experience freedom in the area of our physical life, in the area of our emotional life, in the area of our psychological life. And this morning, God is just saying, guys, I am here. I am here with open arms. With whatever's happened in your life, whatever that bit of rubbish in your hand represents, I want you to come and just lay it down. I just want to clear the rubble this morning. And we've got a clip that I want you to watch right now. And this is actually quite confronting for a Christian music clip. I apologize if it's a bit pixelated. It's by a guy named Kirk Franklin. It talks about, it's called Imagine Me. And it's talking about different people's snapshots of different people's lives that have had to deal with and go through some things that are alluded to, but not much is left to imagination. You pick up the storyline pretty quickly. And then they talk about, imagine me not having to carry and walk around with the guilt, with the shame, with the pain of what has happened. Imagine if we allow God to clear away the rubble in our life, what kind of life we would have. And what we're talking about here, church, is a word that's used within Christian circles, and it's talked about as consecration. It talks about coming and being willing to lay down our lives for a holy purpose, for a higher purpose in this case, for the purposes of Almighty God. And this morning, let me also just add this. That I'm not just talking about, you know what, sometimes what else can clutter our lives is the pursuit of the good, is actually the pursuit. And there's nothing wrong with having ambition. There's nothing wrong with having goals and dreams. But sometimes those things, the pursuit of those things in and of themselves can be just as much a distraction for some people as the painful stuff that we've had to go through. Sometimes they become the drivers in our life that God slips down the order of our priorities. And maybe this morning, your bit of rubbish there, as much as it's like, no, not a rubbish goal, but just go, God, maybe I've been desiring the wrong things too much. Maybe this for me, I don't have anything that's in my past that's of a nature like you've been talking about. I don't see stuff in my past that's rubble or clutter in that sense, Phil. But maybe for me this morning, I need to come and just lay down. I need to consecrate my whole life over to you, Lord, including the good stuff in my life. And for me, consecration in itself is a laying down of everything. My hopes, my dreams, my desires, my life, my gifts, my talents, my skills, my stuff, my relationships, everything about my life is just coming and just laying it down at the feet of Jesus. And so this morning, just as you're sitting there, I just want us to watch this clip and just see if it kind of speaks to you a little bit. Pretty confronting and challenging, but I think the beautiful thing in that is that God's open arms are saying, hey, any rubble, any clutter in your life, he has got the power to take away its power, its hold it's got in your life. And I think symbolically this morning, like that piece of paper that you hold in your hand is to represent, as I said, whether it's a negative thing or it's a positive thing. No one's going to ask you what it is. It's none of our business. This is just between you and God. But I'd like us just to stand. We're going to come into a time of worship. And as we worship this morning, if you'd rather stay seated or sit down at some point, you can. We're not going to worship for long, but I really felt this morning that God's purpose for this morning was just to clear away rubble, just to clear away clutter in people's lives, just that stuff that has been a distraction or is just holding you back from walking in the freedom. And, I don't think it's, just by chance that we're up here today. I think that God is kind of like saying, church, it's time for you to move forward. It's time for you to clear away rubble so that we can move forward into, the plans and purposes that God's got for us as a church. So I think this morning is very symbolic in a number of different ways. Now, you don't have to come out the front, but what we're going to do is just going to ask you just to come and just to drop the paper symbolically at any point during worship this morning. And maybe you want to just hang out the front here and just stay in this area, like this altar area here, and just spend some time just waiting on God. This month's all about spiritual rejuvenation. It's all about just waiting on God, positioning ourselves for a touch from heaven, just allowing God to refresh us and energize and bring healing where he needs it and bring strength where we need it, to bring hope, to bring love, to bring grace, to bring what it is that you need, and not to have to rush through the processes of doing church and stuff, but just to go, hey, we're just taking this time out just to wait.